Hello, I'm Kerry Lonergan. Welcome to the Weekly Grill, podcasting this week from Beef 2021 editions this week, brought to you by our podcast partner, Collier's Agribusiness. In this edition, I'm sampling some, just some, mind you, of the most talked about exhibits, which were all over the grounds at the Beef. I'm talking about ag tech. Gee, it was evident everywhere. Here's a small sample from the grill. We start with a virtual fence. Doesn't sound new, but this is. It's really different because the fence is actually carried by the cattle themselves. One of the more advanced ag tech offerings here at Beef is from Agisens. Is that correct? How do you say it?
Agisens.
And who am I talking to?
Jason Chaffee.
And you're running this organisation to sell what?
Sell the eShepherd virtual fencing system.
Virtual fencing sounds it sounds expensive for a start.
Well, it does. But what we find with our farmers that are using it today, they've made the decision to not install their internal fences and use this system. And that way they're saving money on the repairs or maintenance over that
so
time.
So the replacement for a real fence is a belt around the cow's neck.
Yep.
And it sends out signals and receives signals. And it looks like a fairly decent thing. It weighs about, what, half a kilo or something?
About 2 kilos.
Two kilos, with a decent strap on the neck of the animal. And when it reaches a certain point, it can't go past there because it'll get a...
That's right. So the cow or the cat, the beast carries the fence with them. That's the technology. And what it does then is as the animal approaches the virtual fence line, it receives an audio cue. If it goes again, it gets an electric pulse, and then we find after a few interactions, the animals respond, 89% of them, to just an audio cue. And so the animals are trained, and once they're trained, then you can control and move them across your property.
So you can graze your cattle with that facility on any part of the property you want, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. And so the farmers that are using this today are doing exactly that. They're intensifying their operations, putting the animals into a smaller area, and then moving them more regularly and resting their paddock, more of their farm.
The most important thing for a farmer will be, or grazier will be, how much is it?
Yep.
So per belt, per beast.
That's right. So look, they're $300 per beast, but what we're doing is to encourage farmers to get on board with our beta program, is 2-for-1. And $150 an hour.
Okay, enough of the sales bills. How long do they last?
5 to 7 years.
So you're replacing a solid fence with virtual fencing, and it costs you, $300, $200 for that?
$300, that's right, exactly. Okay.
Congratulations, it's an interesting development, interesting invention. Good luck, how's the sales going, Chris?
Terrific. We're oversubscribed for this financial year.
Can't do better than that.
Next financial year is looking good too.
Good on you for having a go. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks, Kerry.
My name's Stuart McKinnon, and I work for Master Beef as part of a project with Darren Hamblin on our Master Beef platform.
An iPhone measuring what a carcass looks like. That's pretty original, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's been around for a long time. But it's probably just starting to get a lot more traction with, you know, big data and the collection of data. Why it's important is that everyone along the chain, particularly in our case a producer, can make better decisions around their animals on farm and their breeding programs to get that quality of beef.
So it's all about feedback to the producer?
That's right, yes.
Importantly, how accurate is it?
Yep. Well, as I said, it's going through some testing at the moment. So to get the device actually accredited, or as far as the carcass assessment goes, we're working with the University of New England. They're helping us out through that process. But at the moment, it can be used in an abattoir as an assessment, or as a tool that the human assessor can use to help them do their job.
And then the information goes from the iPhone to where?
Yep. So the information gets pushed up onto the Master Beef platform. So that's a cloud-based service. We've got that running in Microsoft Azure in one of their data centers. And what we can do with that information on the kill floor is line it up with other data we've collected about that individual animal through its life.
And the producer back at home out in the Never Never can log in and have a look how it's going through the process.
Yep, that's correct. Yep, so they can get that feedback instantly around the quality of the cut that they're getting.
And the other important factor is, of course, with the graziers every year, we'll ask how much is it?
Yes. Well, that's the actual the device itself. $1,600. That includes the phone and
the iPhone Plus.
Yep, that's right. Device. Yes. Yep, exactly right. The phone itself's not iPhone as in an Apple. It's an Android device, but yeah, similar to that. And then there's a cost per image, but that would be a discussion we'd have with the end user as to what the costing of that would be.
There it is, folks. Another Giddy Up Ag Tech from Musterbeef.
Thank you.
I'm on the ground, around the ground at Beef 2021, and I've come across this stand, and it's all about climate. It's actually called Climate Friendly, and with me is Justin Alec. Alec, what are you selling here?
Well, we're offering an opportunity, really, to landholders to diversify their income with carbon farming by participating in one of the, several carbon farming methods that are laid down by the federal government under the Clean Energy Regulator.
I would say that if you ask the average farmer what carbon farming is, they'd have probably a very, very little idea. How's the reception been here?
It's been really good. It's been really positive. I disagree with you in the proposition that landholders don't know what carbon farming is, because in some ways they've been doing it or have been wanting to do it for a very long time. There's a huge interest at Beef in regenerative agriculture, and really that is carbon farming. But if you would ask me what carbon farming is, there's two different ways to look at it. It's what the farmers have either wanted to do or have been doing for a long time on the one hand, and then on the other hand, it's what you're going to get paid carbon credits for. And so carbon farming, from that perspective, it really depends on the system of measurement that you're using to generate those offsets and get paid for those offsets, and the system of measurement is contained within any one of those methods that I just talked about.
So could all broadacre farmers be in on this carbon farming?
Potentially. It really depends on the methods, and the methods evolve all the time. And one of the things that we do as a carbon farming project developer is we try and communicate the realities of farming from the landholder level up to the government, and try and achieve a good balance between a system that has a lot of integrity and a system that actually works for landholders and is as practical as possible. So,
they can possibly or probably make money out of it.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely working for a lot of landholders. We've got 120 clients across the country, and we wouldn't have that many if it wasn't something that was attractive for them and helped them get through the drought. And was a really good way of diversifying their income. So,
is there a question out of left field? Is there a possibility that, because it's so important and crucial, is there a possibility that they might be regulated to do it if they don't do it themselves?
Well, if they're regulated to do it, then they wouldn't be eligible for participation in or payments from this scheme, because it does require additionality. The farmers need to be doing something that they weren't already compelled to do or doing for a long time, and really that's what it is that the government or other offset purchasers are buying. That's the value in the carbon offset is the change.
And I guess the question or the statement is, the sooner you get in on it, the better.
Yeah, but I'd say go in with both eyes open. Have a chat to a developer like us about the realities, the potential pitfalls, what could be in it for them. Ask around between the developers. We're all offering different things. You never know. Like, one of the carbon farming methods might be right for you. And if it's not right for you today, watch this space. The price of carbon's moving. The methods are moving. And our vision is for a whole of Australian landscape approach and everyone participating in carbon farming.
I'll guarantee this is not the last we're going to hear of carbon farming on Beef Central with Justin Alec from Climate Friendly.
That's right.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much for yours.
Kerry Lonigan here, continuing our tour around Beef Central, looking at ag tech, and now we're with a startup company, which means it's not quite ready to go on the market, but nearly, and it's called Animal IQ, and I'm talking with Andrew Gray. Andrew, welcome to Beef Central.
Thanks very much, Kerry.
Yeah. Now, tell me about this thing. Looks at cattle and measures them and counts them?
Yep. counts changes.
It's like a big camera, isn't it?
Big camera tied to a very big computer that's very smart. Computer learning in Singapore, AI technology, which has been developed by Singapore University of Tech.
So they can count and assess cattle as they're running past into down the chute or something like that?
Yep. Yes, and monitor individual animals in a pen, in a feedlot situation, or any intensive animal.
So very good when they're unloading, especially, I would assume.
Unloading, yeah. Monitoring health of animals, they're giving reports in a feedlot pen.
What is the camera? What does the camera actually tell you, apart from the numbers?
It'll track individual traceability. It's facial recognition technology that will help with changes. It'll recognise changes in animal behaviour and then give an alert to a feedlot, which may mean a change in animal health. And we think that we're about 48 hours earlier than a pen rider diagnosing physical symptoms in a feedlot pen situation.
Wow, that'll be terrific. Now, someone in an office 1,000 kilometres away can know the exact number coming in one day and going out, etc., etc.?
Yep, open his computer, have a stock take live, and be told which animals he needs to pull from which pen because they're showing abnormal health conditions.
So you're not quite market ready. How far is that away?
As soon as we're financed, we've got customers ready to go.
Wow, that's fantastic. Thank you for talking to us.
No worries at all. Thank you.
Another one of the high-tech ag stands at Beef 2021 is from AMPC. And if you don't know what that means, I'll tell you. It's the Australian Meat Processors Corporation. It's all run by Oron Levies. And to tell us where the levies come from, here's the boss, Chris Taylor. Chris, where does the money come from?
Well, thanks, Kerry. The levies are actually paid by the slaughterhouses, the abattoirs themselves. There's a couple of different levies. One is the beef slaughter levy, beef production levy. But it works out to be these days about $1.70 a head these days. And on sheep and lamb, it's about 10 or 12
cents. So what do you give them for all those levies?
We try to return directly back to the processors' R&D outcomes by working with them directly. So we find that most processors are doing the same thing, but they all do it very different ways.
So I'm guessing that you'd be concentrating on automating the processing chain?
Automating to a degree. What our main aim at the moment is to actually take people out from dangerous activities in the plant. So sometimes automation gets confused with those types of activities. We're not looking to take people out of plants. We're looking to make them safer in plants.
So you want to make it robotic, but safer?
Absolutely. And I've got a vision where, you know, at the moment, typically in a boning room, it's mostly men, you know, of a certain age working in there. I'd love through some of these technologies to open up the workforce to the other 50% of the population out there and bring some women inside as well.
You've got some gee whiz technology here that's almost on the market or appears to be on the market or maybe on the market. Well, it's a bit here and there, isn't it? The one I'm talking about is the robot.
Yes.
That gives you a scan of the carcass but doesn't actually cut it yet because there's no knife there. But that's what you want to do eventually, don't you? You want to start cutting a carcass with a robot.
Well, ideally, the robot you're talking about, ideally you could put a blade on the end of it. You could have an operator using a control arm to move the robot around and make the cuts without actually having to hold a knife in their hand.
With an extraordinary precision.
Extraordinary precision, and that's the goal.
So how far is that off?
Look, we're probably about a year or two away from a commercial application of it.
Nothing like future tech, and no, I beg your pardon, nothing like that robotic thing that we saw many years ago that cost the levy payers a lot of money.
I think out of those types of activities where the R&D hasn't paid off, a lot of lessons have been learned, and we're a lot more circumspect about the places where we invest.
Wonderful. Okay, so when will it be up again? 18 months, 2 years maybe?
This particular robotic arm, I'd say probably 2 years to commercial.
Wonderful. Good luck.
Terrific. Thanks very much, Kerry.
Simon Winter. And what we're here this at Beef Week is about is retinal scanning technology for identification and traceability of livestock.
Retinal scanning, of course. Let's just start with the eyes. What do you do?
Okay, we have we've got some technology which shines a light into the eye of the animal, which is reflected back from the retina and produces an image of the retina, which is captured on a camera. And that image then becomes a lifetime identifier for that animal.
A unique sort of footprint, thumbprint or fingerprint?
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly the same as a fingerprint, except this actually lasts longer. So while the animal is alive and up to a couple of hours post-slaughter, you can actually identify that animal using the retina.
Positives about it, it must be fabulous for security. I mean, when they decide which animal owns to whoever.
Well, and that's one of the highlights of this, is that it is a guarantee to identify an animal. You don't have to worry about lost tags or tags dropping out, etc. The police have actually come and had a look at what we're doing, and they're very interested in understanding more about it also.
So it's for individual animals? Is it any large-scale use in prospect?
Certainly, it is an individual animal identification system, because every animal has a unique retina. Both retinas are different in an animal, and they are unique. No two animals have the same. So this technology is applicable across all livestock species, and including humans. It's the same technology. So there is a unique identifier, and it can be applied, well, we're in development at the moment, so we are looking to how we can apply this across a large-scale commercial operation as well.
So on the way, but a work in progress largely?
Basically, that's correct, yeah. We're running trials at the moment with MLA, and we're hoping to get to a commercialisation phase in the next year or so.
Simon from iTrack, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Kerry.
Well, that's just a very, very small sample of the huge number of ag tech businesses which were exhibited at BEEF 2021. We'll take a short break and hear now from our sponsors, Colliers Agribusiness. If you're looking to buy, sell or value your agribusiness enterprise, then Rawdon Briggs and the Colliers Agribusiness team have industry-leading solutions to ensure you succeed in this fast-growing agribusiness environment. Rawdon's team have vast experience over many decades in combination with a corporate national business, collaborative mindset and proven resources that are sure to help your family or business achieve success in their rural property. As the demand for agribusiness and rural properties remains strong, talk to a Colliers Agribusiness team member today to maximise the potential of your property in the current market conditions. Call 1300 522 818 or visit the website for more information. I'm going to finish with an opinion, and it's a bit of a warning too, I guess, from a high-tech guru, and he's into agribusiness, and he's into cattle, and he's into tech, and he just sounds a little bit of a warning to anyone thinking about buying some of this ag tech stuff. Be careful and take your time.
My name's Stuart Barrett. I'm a beef producer from Thangool in central Queensland.
Now, Stuart, you have a particular interest in ag tech?
As a beef producer, yeah, I'm always interested in what's out there in ag tech.
What were the two or three most advanced tech things you saw here at Beef?
Well, the tracking tags would be one of them. The smartphones would be another.
Smartphones, you mean you can operate the app from, or any particular item from your house or in the car or far away?
Well, I mean, it's the one piece of tech, and I know it's not strictly ag tech, but we use it in ag. I certainly use it, and I'd be lost without it. So when I think about ag tech, there's lots of stuff that's out there but not really readily commercially available for producers to increase their bottom line, but the smartphone is one thing that I use every day that I'd be lost without. So yeah, look, there's a lot of ag tech startups, and being startups, there's going to be a lot of them drop off, unfortunately, but I mean, I just hope that there'll be some traction for commercial producers.
Let's talk about those startups in a moment, but first of all, what's your major job of your iPhone on your farm?
It's keeping data in the cloud and being able to access that data.
At any time you want?
Within reason, yeah.
Okay, now the startups. What's the oddest thing you've seen at Beef?
Well, I guess the trachometers in the ears of cattle that monitor the movement. The movement's one thing that you don't readily associate with being able to be powerful for a producer, but the way they can detect rumination, you know, calving and proximity to other cattle, well, I think that's probably a bit of a red herring.
So there are some innovations available or being put on the market or about to be put on the market that you would advise farmers and graziers to be a bit wary of?
Well, I would advise that they make sure there's an outcome for what they're going into. Trials are all well and good, as long as you know that it's going to either save your costs or increase your production. So I've sort of seen over the years, and even back in beef 2018, there was quite a bit of ag startup going on there, and a lot of that has stalled, or the hardware's let them down. So make sure you have an end in mind to what you want that ag tech to do, and that it's commercially available for your enterprise.
And look at the bottom line in the end.
Well, I guess so, yeah. Otherwise, you've just got another toy like a drone that's going to sit, you know. I think a lot of farms have drones now that aren't used because it's just another thing. Personally, I like to keep it simple because, you know, we already have enough things to plug in and recharge, and after a while they just become things, apart from the smartphone.
Stuart, thank you very much. The advice is just be wary, just be warning, and take your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you very much for appearing on Beef Central.
No worries, Gary.
Thank you for joining us today. Another fascinating subject on Beef Central's podcast when we next join you from Beef 2021.